This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Fire! Wind! Water!
Hot! Go! Planet!
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet!
Captain Planet!
He's a hero! Gonna take pollution down to zero!
Thank you very much. That is fantastic stuff there from Chris Strong. He created that song, I believe.
I don't know if that is correct.
Produced from the start.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Does everybody remember Captain Planet?
Yeah. I posted that as part of my Earth Day thing today.
You did.
That's... Along with the Odyssey messaging that's probably more on point, but...
Dude, what do you mean on point? Captain Planet was trying to take pollution down to zero. All right.
Man, it's a shame he got canceled because he left a lot undone.
What did he get canceled for?
No, the show. Not like Captain Planet didn't like say something inflammatory against whoever. The show got canceled. This
blue dude just comes out of nowhere. I'm taking you down, lumberyard. You
know, I have controversial opinions about this and that.
I kind of dug Captain Planet though. I thought it was a fun little show. Mike, you ever watched Captain Planet?
Nope.
I definitely saw it.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
So you never heard of it?
Never heard of that. You like knew the words and everything.
Yeah.
What channel did this come on? Nickelodeon?
Television channel.
PBS? I don't.
I think it was one of the network
39.
Networks. Yeah, it could have been. I don't know.
Yeah, it was one of those.
It existed.
That being said, today is Earth Day. And if you've been following us on Twitters... I've posted some stuff over the weekend.
Me too.
Showing my kids recycling and helping me turn light switches off and watering our plants because we got to take care of this earth while we're here.
Do you do the light switch thing for the earth or for your bill?
The earth.
Okay.
Because if you don't, I mean, like, it's a super easy thing to do. Just walk
that's
out
true.
Of a room and turn the light off.
That is true.
Now, the bill, that's a bonus, right? That's something that comes along with it. But really, we're trying to conserve our grid here, Kevin, because I don't know if you've heard or not. In Texas, we don't have enough power. So during the summer, it can get really bad.
And during the winter.
And during the winter, it can get really bad. So we got to conserve our power. So 877-881-1053, and somebody did say 21 is the channel that it was on. I would like to know what your plan is to take care of our planet today. How do you become Captain Planet?
All right.
Because as I said in my tweet, Kevin... I'm not Captain Planet. I'm just a dad trying to protect Earth.
This is going to seem like a weird way to answer your question, so I hope you'll stick with me for a second. So I was watching Married at First Sight with my wife, and it's from like a couple seasons ago. There's this fella on the show named Mitch. Mitch is a super eco guy.
Kevin Mensch?
No, not Kevin Mensch. Mitch. Oh,
okay. His name's Kevin. This other guy's name was Mitch.
Yeah. Okay. And so, like, when somebody brought plastic silverware to a thing, he got bent out of shape, and then he was like...
You can recycle the plastic silverware.
Dude, there's all this stuff.
Even
he's like, don't do silver, you single-use plastic. But when I thought about how
it's
much...
It's called plasticware.
He was talking about, you know, lowering his footprint and stuff. I kind of wanted to be like, yeah, but, like, being on a TV show and stuff is probably not lessening your footprint, right? There's a whole lot that goes into that, so... I don't really know if you're backing up your message.
Yeah.
I'm going to mow my yard today.
Because it's not all...
With your electric mower, right?
I do have electric mower.
Oh.
Look at the mic. Taking care of the planet today.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law is a very, like, lower carbon footprint guy. One of those that just, like, he's done a pretty good job of it. I think he could live off-grid.
And
really,
for the
like,
record,
legitimately do it.
I do think that's a worthy endeavor, just as long as you, like... actually
oh,
do
yeah.
it.
He's I'm very proud of like what they moved up to Washington. I think it's Dawson's old neighborhood, Vancouver,
oh.
Washington, somewhere near Gonzaga. And
Spokane.
Yeah, thank you. And
the beautiful beaches of Spokane.
He's one of those dudes that has really good like he's green thumb kind of guy. Like he can really horticulture is right there in his wheelhouse. And maybe that too. I don't know.
Okay.
That being said, if you would like to today swing by my possibilities. the City of Plano Green Business Division, and the local Boy Scout Troop 221 are hosting an Earth Day car wash at My Possibilities today until 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay? It is a free car wash with a donation of $10 or more to My Possibilities.
It's nothing against My Possibilities. I just like businesses where we all lay out the price ahead of time. And they're like, suggested donation is this. And so like, you're a piece of ass if you
$10
don't
$10 or
more. Tipping caddies.
I'm going to get to that in just a minute there. The Boy Scouts are also selling snow cones, and all proceeds go to My Possibilities.
Nice.
This is also a waterless car wash, so it's earth-friendly. So on a day where you're protecting the earth, this one time per year, we protect the planet.
Hold on, once
every year.
Let's just
the Boy Scout Troop 221 is having a waterless car wash.
A water, not
until
a,
3 p.m.
Not they even spit. I think they all spit as hard as they can, as much as they can.
Not even a recycled water. It's waterless.
It's called the spit wash.
How does that work?
Spit shine.
Kevin, I'm going to be very honest here.
Please tell me I have an answer.
And I would love for somebody from Boy Scout Troop 221 to text me.
I just want to know.
And explain how a waterless car wash works, because I don't know either. I don't know the answer to your question. But
I think they tell the person in the car to close their eyes for 1 minute, and they say, we washed it.
But it looked different than it did before.
Put all these streamers on the front of it like you're going through a car wash.
Here's a box of Girl Scout cookies. See you later.
Oh, that would be a good deal.
A waterless car wash.
Without the box, though.
All right, here you go, Kevin. I found this out from autogeek.net.
Okay.
A waterless car wash is a high lubricity.
Big Lou. Gotcha.
Yeah, I think
lots of high lubrication pre-mix spray detailer that is used to heavily saturate a panel and then carefully wipe away any dirt or road grime off to a dry shine. Waterless washes should only be used on vehicles with light dirt accumulation. They're a fast way to clean your vehicle between washes.
So if you went mudding and you want to donate to My Possibilities,
you
should. Just don't expect this to be the car wash to take care of.
This one's going to be, they're going to be working a lot harder to get all that mud off there.
All right. I like it. That helped answer my question.
I'm going to make some fried chicken tonight.
for the earth?
I guess. It's Earth Day. I know how to do it.
Don't get us into that same crap you did last year. The opinions of Mike Bassick are unrelated to the rest of the show.
I'm going to turn off my mic for this. You just keep going.
So if you're looking for something to do to take care of the planet and take care of My Possibilities,
then
roll over that way.
Once you explained the waterless car wash, it makes more sense.
I looked up Derek Holland's finish in the celebrity tournament.
Oh, yeah, thank you, because we were wondering that Derek Holland got to play in the celebrity invited.
There's a guy named Brett Bayer. He withdrew. Then there's Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, no.
There's Derek Holland.
Did Larry the Cable Guy withdraw? Did he finish?
No, he finished 39th. So out of the top 40, Derek made the top 40.
Out of 40.
At 38.
He was 38.
He almost, well, not almost. He finished, I don't even know how they did this scoring thing.
Well, they did have like round two was canceled because of the storms over the weekend and stuff. So that was.
Hold on, is your insinuation that's where Derek, that if round two would happen, that's what he would have been like the Clippers yesterday?
Derek's a round two guy.
Second quarter?
Everybody knows Derek's a round two guy. Always has been.
I don't know. From what I've heard, he does one round and he's like, I'm going to move on.
Oh, maybe it was because Derek started on the back nine.
See? Kevin, here you are taking shots at
Or
Derek
maybe
Holland.
He just didn't play well.
It's his course. He not know? DeMarcus Ware finished ahead of him in 37.
DeMarcus has played this tournament before, so he kind of knew what to expect out of it
Derek
all.
Derek,
this is
nervous.
His first try. Let's see how he does next year.
He probably played wrong-handed. He hits from the right side.
Do we need to see if Derek can come back in Wednesday so you can just ass all over him?
I wonder if he's listening right now. I wonder if he's going to the hockey game.
I bet he
hockey
is.
Hockey Mike's going.
Hockey Mike.
Hockey Derek. He got rid of his tickets.
What does it matter with you, Mike? Mike, why are you doing this to him?
All right, Kevin, I have some questions for
I bet he didn't go over 13.
This is from CBSSports.com. Okay. With Caleb Williams a foregone conclusion to the Bears, who should be taken number two overall? Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or other?
Drake May, because I think that, well, C.J. Stroud ruined the, like, number two guy because he's awesome.
He is awesome. As so, Kevin said, and this is why, like, I'm asking, you know, Kevin, like, who's because...
the next, is this like who's the next Ryan Leaf or who's the next Tony Mandrich?
But Kevin last year crushed this. Kevin was like, C.J. Stroud is the guy, and C.J. Stroud turned out to be the guy. So, Kevin, who should go, who should be the number two?
Who's going to turn around the Washington Generals?
Is that... I do think of all those picks, Jaden Daniels makes the most sense. However, personally, I think if you were just drafting best player available, you'd go Marvin Harrison Jr., but I understand how if you need a quarterback and you're at spot two, it makes sense to take a quarterback.
Watching some of these draft things lately, there's three premium wide receivers. Like, they would all be top five picks in other drafts, but then it's a deep, it's like a pretty good drop off. So if you don't get one of the three wide receivers, then you're not really.
And they
getting...
should all go in the top 10 at least.
There's still some good wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's not, but they were like
they're ready to walk into the NFL.
I
right
guess
now.
They're like there's a. I don't know. Maybe I'm just spitting out things of listening to things.
No,
you're
right. Neighbors have done.
So we don't
Harrison
typically
Jr.
see the Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase thing happen, right? Like, you don't typically just see dudes walk into the NFL and be like, "I'm here, and I'm also a 1,500 yard receiver."
If the Cowboys had the number two pick, who would you want them to draft?
A quarterback.
Well, okay, who?
Jaden.
You don't want him to take Jaden Daniels?
Does Jaden feel like the Anthony Richardson athleticism off the charts? Can he be the great passer that everybody wants him to be?
I think he's a better passer than Anthony Richardson.
Richardson wasn't close, yeah.
I would pick Jaden. I understand the potential concerns that come with all of these quarterbacks.
The second question on this list was, who is the safest draft prospect? And
Marvin Harrison
Jr. was named four different times.
Or do you think Alt is up there?
Joe, it's interesting that Alt has kind of slid in a lot of things that I've been seeing. I'm surprised by that because I think he's a safe pick too. You throw him out on the throw him out there and you're like, all right, I'm good to go. But this thing, as you've heard a lot from G-Bag Nation, it's stacked with tackles. Yeah. Like, it's just absolutely stacked with offensive linemen. So when it comes to safe picks, it's like, all right, you got a lot of these guys. Which one? Marvin Harrison Jr. is, he's built for the NFL. He's ready for the NFL right now. Like, you're gonna get shine from him for quite some time. Who's the prospect with the biggest red flag? Jermaine Burton, one. Keon Coleman from Florida State.
Oh, I could see that.
And Tavondre Sweat from Texas.
Look, because
I know a lot of people are like, man,
it makes sense because the kind of the rap on him was that he's a party guy and you're like, hey, I can get better, I can improve and all this, and then immediately after that you get a DWI, you get an accident, right? Not just the DWI.
Yeah.
And so the concern is like, but you just told us all this stuff, and I don't know if that's gonna play as like, that was my last hurrah. Like, I just don't know.
I needed one more party.
Yeah, I just
sounds like
know.
A second round pick for the Cowboys.
I think they actually might take somebody different from Texas in the second round.
And the last question
they
here.
They need to have issues, though, right? We like second round issue players.
Oh, yeah. Love issues. Which current NFL players like most likely to get traded during draft weekend?
Brandon
Ayuk's name. Who'd you say?
Randy Moss.
No,
did anybody say T. Higgins?
T. Higgins is on there, but Brandon Ayuk and Cortland Sutton's names keep popping up. But Ayuk's the one that just pops up the most right now because San Francisco trying to figure out their situation, and he's a valuable asset for somebody out there. He's
I mean, to be receiver. Honest, maybe they don't do it. San Francisco's a much better organization than the Cowboys, but
agreed.
I would say they should go all in for the next 2 years, and then who cares? Then you're screwed.
No, I agree. I would not move off of Ayuk if I was
and then,
go all in, and then whenever Brock Purdy's contract's up, you're just like,
I mean,
right,
I would let him go.
Figure it
to
out
be honest,
here.
I think that the smart move would be like you use Brock Purdy's situation up. Maybe you franchise tag him for 1 year.
Yeah.
And so you still have him, and then you draft a quarterback, you let him back up Brock Purdy for a year, and then you say, guess what? We got another dude making $900,000 to $5 million running the show.
And that's it, man, for the Captain Planet segment.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next.
He-Man's better, though, because he's a universe.
Yeah, and the Masters of the planet. Universe. But he's only He-Man like half the time.
He was Toro or something? Or
Adam?
Adam, that's right. Toro or something.
Do you think he was actually Skeletor?
How did they not know Adam, who was built like a freaking beast, was not He-Man?
It's the same thing with Clark Kent. It's like this jacked reporter, and they're like, oh, he has glasses on. He couldn't be Superman.
Didn't he have a friend named
Coming up next.
That's your noise. Holy cow.
NBA champion and our Odyssey NBA insider, Danny Green, right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now on the line, Odyssey NBA insider Danny Green. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe 2024, equipped for adventure. Danny, what the hell happened to the Mavericks yesterday?
It was just a tough game, man. Sometimes it happens that way. I wouldn't lose any faith. You know, there's certain teams that I look at after game one and say, oh, they're going home. This is not that type of situation. A lot of things just couldn't go right. Missed a lot of easy ones, chippies early on. And, kind of spiraled from there. But they still only lost by 12. They didn't score a lot. Clippers shot unbelievably, 50% from three. I don't see them doing that again. And I think it's a blessing in disguise, man, because the fact that now Clippers got the one win at home, they're probably going to rest Kawhi again, which gives you guys the advantage. If you guys split on the road, that's what you need. You need to get one out of there. It's not a series until somebody wins on the road.
So, Danny, I'm sure there's been situations. You played for the Spurs for a while, so probably not. But when you're down 56-30 at halftime in a playoff game, like what do you when you're at halftime? What in the world happens at halftime? Down 26.
I mean, we've had situations like that. It's not in the playoffs, I don't recall, but definitely regular season. And it's, getting gear. We got a couple minutes before we pull the plug. And sometimes they have the second unit give us energy. Pop is the type. He'll sub five in, five out, and see what they'll give us. And a lot of times the worm will turn. Basketball's a game of runs. And naturally, human nature, teams aren't going to continue to keep their foot on the pedal and play that greatly. And then they're going to, probably loosen up some. And eventually you'll get an opportunity. I'm sure that locker room was not a tough one to be in after game one. So game one's the most intense one, and everybody's trying to make a statement and come out and play their best basketball, but sometimes it just doesn't happen that way. But they fought back, so they made it a game, but they made it respectable. They didn't lose by 30. That'd be a different story if you guys lost by that much.
You made that point of the Mavs missed some shots. They missed some layups close to the basket. They missed some threes early in that game for sure. You chalk that up to tightness, just kind of maybe pushing it a little too much? Because some of these guys, this is their first steps into the playoffs.
Maybe. I chalk it up to just having a bad night sometimes. Some of these guys are experienced. They're not young guys. Tim Hardaway is a guy that's been in the playoffs. Kai, Luka, they all have some decently amount of playoff experience. And it could be just one of those things. Or maybe just had more rest than the usual off, maybe a little rust.
So
they weren't in the playing games. So, yeah, it could be a number of things.
Danny, I know you're a great three-point shooter, and on a scouting report, it was, don't leave Danny Green wide open. We're not helping off of Danny Green. But obviously, the scouting report on the Mavs are, leave Derek Jones Jr. open. Leave Maxi Kleba wide open. Let's see if they make threes tonight. When does a player like that change the scouting report in a playoff series? Is it a timeout where they've made two in a row? When do you go, all right, let's not leave Maxi wide open, or let's not leave Derek Jones Jr. wide open?
After they hit probably two or three. Probably three. You hit two, you're like, oh, okay, contest it, but not like you don't have to run them off the line. But they hit three, and now it's a little different. But even then, it goes game to game. You still live with the results because the numbers always balance out. And it's like, just because he hit three or four this game doesn't mean he's going to hit three or four throughout the whole series. So you give him a game, said, oh, he played unbelievable tonight. We're going to continue to dare him to make shots until he becomes a shooter, like a threat. Then they're not going to change their scout. Now, if he does it for two or three games, then it's like, all right, we got to get to this guy. But most times, you just let the guy shoot until, instead it's different. Like a Deuce McBride, him hitting threes, he's a guy that's known to knock down shots and make shots. You can't just leave him open. Now, he's changing a series, but I'm sure the scout report wasn't leaving him open, but it wasn't like, oh, we got to make sure we run them off the line. It's like, we don't want them to get good looks. But now they probably have to key on a guy like that. So they'll probably never key on those guys. They'll get the looks. They just have to take them and shoot them confidently.
Now, when you're talking about some of the teams that you might have seen in game one and you're like, yeah, they're probably done. I'm curious your take about the Lakers' playoff future, especially after James Worthy said that Nikola Jokic looks like Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at the same time.
So there's certain games that I looked at, certain series, and I said, yeah, they're going home. It wasn't that series. I thought the Lakers could sneak one because they were in rhythm and they had been playing. And, you know, Denver had a week off. They were rusty. They were up most of the game, especially the first half, for sure. That first quarter, they were pretty good. Second quarter, they were up by three, I think, by the halftime. So it was their game to steal. But now once they got the rhythm, so Jamal Murray didn't even play his best game. And the fact that, you know, Denver started getting the rhythm in that second half, it's going to be an even tougher series for Lakers. But I still think they could make it a series. I don't see them winning the series, but I see them, you can make it to six or seven. But they're going to need those other guys to step up, like D'Angelo Russell. He got some good looks. Austin Reeves, Rui. Those guys are going to be the ones that need to step up. Gabe Vincent, Torian Prince, all those guys that's in the game, they're going to have to knock down some shots because ultimately Anthony Davis and LeBron James are doing their job, which they did. And usually AD, they think he's going to be up and down. If he stays consistent, they always have a chance with him. But they just got tired, man. You know, Bron got tired. You can see he can get outrun by Jokic at the end of the game. AD, hands on his knee. Like, they just got really tired. They're carrying a lot of the weight on both ends of the floor. And you can't expect them to do that without help. So they're going to need those other guys to step up and make some shots.
I'm guessing the Miami Heat perhaps are on your list of teams that might be done. Do you want to tell us if that is correct and any other teams on that
list? Yeah. It's just, they're just unmatched. This is hard to – very much outmatched. There's no Jimmy. Even with Jimmy, Boston would be tough to beat. But without Jimmy, I think they're just outmatched. You know, Perk had a wild statement. They have to make 100% of their shots and they would still lose. Like, I don't know if that – they would have to make 100% of, like, a high percentage of their shots. To win some game. Like I said, I almost said they need to be 100%, but if they shot seven, they had to shoot a very high clip to win some games, and they wouldn't do that for four games out of the seven. So I see them going home. Like, there's a couple teams I looked at, and I'm just like, I'm not confident. Like, Indiana, I was like, they're going home. Miami, I'm like, they just outmatched. They're going home. And Phoenix was another team was like, that I just don't see it, man. Like,
yeah.
The mannerisms, the faces, the energy. Now, they can't turn around. They may win a game or two, but it didn't look good. Like I said, and it wasn't like Minnesota shot unbelievable. Like I said, the Clippers shot 50% from three. Minnesota only shot 37. So it wasn't like they were hitting everything. But to lose by 25 in your first game and said not cut it down, make it a run, or it's not getting enough. Don't have a point guard. They don't have enough bench production or from others to do it. And I said, I don't think other guys had it. Like, I don't think Cat had a great game. I don't think Mike Conley, like, they didn't have that. Alexander had a good game, but off the bench. But outside of that, you know, it wasn't like a bunch of guys had a great game. So that's concerning to me, seeing those type of lopsided wins for a team like that that's supposed to be a contender.
Okay, I want to stick with that for just 1 second. I know Kevin Durant is a great player, but we were talking about, like, historically where people will go down. Does any of the shine come off of Kevin Durant, like if the Suns flame out and his other attempts at super teams didn't really work out?
How do you mean flame out? Like, you mean like he does not hold to a higher standard because of his groups?
Is that what you're trying to say? If they lose in the first round, or if he loses in the first round, and you see, you know, they just haven't.
Yeah, I mean, he's not young anymore. He's just older, so we expect the load to not be fully on him. But yeah, a lot of times that he's been given a pass because, you know, he does his job most of the time. He usually gets his 30, and he doesn't have the group around him. He has pieces, they just don't fit sometimes. And that's what super team, you can put there how many super teams you want. You just have to mesh well.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this one, that they haven't had a lot of time together. I wouldn't say they don't mesh well, but they don't look great. They don't have a point guard. They're missing some pieces, some important pieces that they need. And that's why it's hard to say and to, like, put him in a standard. But he's still going down as one of the best ever, you know, lace him up. Definitely one of the best scorers in the game. He had different paths, different roads, and some people might discredit it. I don't. You know, he's one of the greatest and won some championships. But I think people are looking for him to do it on his own, you know. So we may not see that.
Danny Green joining us right now on 105.3 The Fan. I'm going to go to that Boston series, and Caleb Martin, I'm going to say, accidentally undercut Tatum on a rebound, and it kind of caused a little bit.
It was an accident.
And so let me ask you this. That was Drew Holiday who pushed Martin. Does Drew Holiday, like when they're in film or whatever, go, oh crap, they're about to see how this actually did happen? Or does he apologize on the bench if, like, near the end of the game, is he like, hey, Jay, I accidentally pushed him into you, and that's the reason he undercut you?
I think in the game, he probably could say, I don't know if he did. Drew's the type of guy, I could see him. Like, he's a stand up guy. I'll probably tell him, like, yo, I don't think he's on purpose. Like, I pushed him. So, and Caleb Martin's a 1 foot jumper. He's trying to get his 1 foot up, trying to jump. He got pushed. You know how inertia works. Like, it's hard to stop. Things happening so fast in the game. Things were chippy throughout the game. I don't think it was intentional. But I'm sure Jason will see it. I'm sure the rest of the group will see it. And I said, I'm sure Drew said something about it. So, you know, just playoff basketball is hard. No, it's hard basketball, people competing. You know, you move on. Obviously, unfortunate play. You don't want to see it. He got bounced back up, which was good to see. Sure, he'll be sore from it the next day or so. But, I think people will see that it wasn't intentional.
Out of these first round series, which one is most likely to cause, like, a real fight?
Ooh. That's a good question, man. I don't know. I think there's going to be some really good basketball. I like the New Orleans Thunder game. I think that's going to go 7 series. Clippers and Dallas always have a little bit of smoke. Indiana-Milwaukee, they've had some history throughout the season, but it's 2 different teams now since the trade deadline. So it's hard to say, man. You know, Philly-New York is a gutted out, grinded out one, so could get chippy, but you never know. And playoff basketball, any team could at any point because everybody wants to win.
Anything in particular you think fans need to key in on game 2 for Mavericks Clippers tomorrow?
Nothing. But so they just had a bad game, and I'm sure they have a better start. We'll see what the others do. If they knock down shots in the open, how they change, and if Kawhi plays or not. You know, so James Harden had a really good game. I don't expect him to hit 6 threes again. I expect him to go 50% from 3. So I think it'll be a way different game. And if they win that game, it'll be a totally different series.
Love it, man. Appreciate all the insight you've already given us, and look forward to talking with you again next week.
For sure, man. Anytime.
There you go. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Danny Green. Inside calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure.
I used to have a Santa Fe. I loved it, man. It was a fantastic ride.
Did you feel like it was equipped for adventure?
Absolutely, I did. I'm an adventurer. You know I am. I always am. So there you go. Hey, have you seen the video of Brett Boone getting kicked out of the game? But it's really
the
guy.
He didn't even say anything.
It was the guy behind him that yelled, and the umpire's like, I don't even care who it was. You're out of here for it.
And then Zach Wilson has been traded to the Broncos for what?
Oh, man, I lost that.
Wilson
and a 7th to Denver for a 6th. By the way.
All right, hey, I have some Zach Wilson rookie cards. This sounds great. He's leading the Broncos now.
Hey, hold on.
Broncos are out on picking a quarterback.
What does Sean Payton do, Mike? Sean Payton takes old or young quarterbacks from other teams that were drafted really high to be the next guy.
Did Drew Brees win a championship in San Diego?
Nope. Guess where he won one?
Yep.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Do you look at Russell Wilson at all, and you're like, did he win a championship somewhere
they
else?
They always knew Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson that wasn't Sean Payton's guy. Okay. Sean Payton's got his guy now.
He locked in.
Zach attack. It's finally happening.
Zach Wilson was number one at BYU.
Yeah, and where's BYU close to?
Hold on, Mike.
Denver.
That's not where I'm going with this. Number two with the New York Jets. Should he change his number to number 3, which Russell Wilson wore last year, so that they don't have to change any of the jerseys?
I think he should, like, get 86.
Wilson 3. And just... No, he'd be a receiver, Mike.
No, you can get any number you want in the NFL.
I thought you meant because he's going to get 86 out of the league soon enough.
Probably so. And I think it'd be cool. Like, can you imagine number 86 taking snaps? Really throw it in all the cornerback and wide receivers' faces, being like, you guys have screwed up the NFL enough. I'm going to 86 this thing at quarterback.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm a little confused, and I hope our system is just catching up, or maybe it's just my computer. There's a text response at 1:43 from RJ Choppy on the fan text that said, thanks, brother, I appreciate it. It's right at the sternum, so who knows what it is. Does Choppy circle back So the fan text, or is the system just behind and catching up?
That's from our crosstalk this morning. He had a knot in his chest, and he was like, it might be a heart attack. Who knows?
It's probably one of those deals where he was trying to get out of here, but he saw somebody giving their condolences and, you know, their well wishes to his sternum, and he was like, ooh, I'm going to have to circle back with them later on in the day. I'm just surprised that he actually followed through with that.
And that person just responded back to him. So I don't know how he's operating
Chop. Can't have my hosts keeling over on me, is what they said back. So
can I ask the first question in crosstalk?
If you can give me the sponsorship.
D&M Leasing.
There you go.
Did I get it?
Yes.
That's a total guess. Okay.
You should know we do it every day.
It obviously sunk into my brain. Okay. I said it.
I mean,
right?
He's been out for a week. See, you know what I mean? Give works. This guy a break.
All right. So we had pushback, as we all still believe the Mavs are going to win their series, guys. Mm. So we just want to make this clear. We are disappointed with game one. We still think the Mavs, all three of us, think the Mavs are going to win the series. But we said, I'm going to be honest with my opinion. Like, they played like a bunch of wusses. I can't believe that they didn't play hard and weren't ready to play a playoff game. They weren't. I was surprised with it. I still think they're going to win the series. And then we had a whole bunch of Tolos text in like, they were just rusty and they just missed shots. And I was like, they didn't play very hard and were giving up easy baskets, letting a lot of offensive rebounds happen that we didn't see in the last 25 games of the season. So I just
Clippers
left.
Had the same amount of time off.
Yeah, I'm just interested in y'all's opinion.
Without
Are you going to
player?
Just go, yeah. Well, they were just rusty, or they were like, what the crap? Like, the playoffs did start, guys. We might want to engage.
Everything in my years of experience watching basketball makes me want to say Clippers are now my pick. The fact that they lost, game one consistently in 2022 gives me a little bit of pause there. But still, yeah, I'm picking the Clippers to win the series now.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Little too physical.
Not rust, huh?
Yeah, not rust. No, I just think Mavs aren't ready. You know, Clippers are mostly a team full of guys over 30 who might feel like this is our last chance, and that's the energy you saw. You know, the Mavs just kind of came together. I guess Kyrie's a veteran, but, you know, I just feel like there's enough of a matchup problem here with all the different Clippers who can attack. Tyronn Lue is great at making adjustments. I feel like Jason's going to make his, but down 1-0 with them having home court advantage, your best chance to steal is game one. And as bad as you looked, I got to bet on that happening at least a couple of more times in this series.
Looks like you've sold Mike over here.
I never thought about this, but Daddy just brought it up. Harden's reputation of his whole career is on the line. So is Russell Westbrook's, and so is Paul George. The three guys that actually played, their whole reputation for their life's work is on the line right now. Mm-hmm. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Now Kyrie's is too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think in the past, like, the pressure has gotten to those Clippers and made them play worse. But after seeing how well they played in game one, that convinced me pretty dang good that they're going to make the most out of this.
Yeah, I wonder if they can keep that same type of, you know, it was a shot in the arm for them yesterday, galvanizing of like, okay, Kawhi's not going to play. Yeah. Oh, we're home dogs to these guys. We're going to go out and really bust it. And then you saw like James Harden couldn't keep that going in the second half. Can he continue to be that level of dominant? I don't think the consistency will be there. Will Russell Westbrook hit two threes in another game in the series? Probably not. But there was a lot of things that concern you moving forward. I will still maintain my pick in the Mavericks, but yes, there was not a single redeeming quality about that game yesterday.
Anything in particular besides shoot better that you point to, you're like, adjust? Is it just paint?
Well, I mean, Zubats can't dominate you the way that he did, and Luka has to be able to take advantage of him when he's on the court. It's like you've been able to play him off the court in these previous series, and now I don't know what it was that Luka's doing. I will still take Luka across the board when it comes to that particular matchup moving forward, but they're switching Zubats on him, and Luka's going dribble, 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 I'll just do the fadeaway deal, and it's like, and then the adjustment of they're clearly taking away your lobs, which was just the easiest 2 points that you could get every single time up and down the court. And it's like, okay, when Luka, are you just going to say, all right, I can still score the basketball. I'm allowed to do that. I don't have to throw it up to Gafford every time.
Is it surprising to you guys at all that the person who's going to finish second in the MVP, then his team just got smoked to start the playoffs?
Sounds familiar, right?
Everything about that game was too familiar to the Cowboys.
It
oh, my gosh.
So felt like the
thing,
green.
The thing that worries me the most is they're going to likely get Kyrie back.
Kawhi,
yeah. I'm sorry. They're likely going to get him back. And that's the thing that worries me the most about this. And it likely when they come back to Dallas.
Do you think they're unlikely to play him because they won game one? Yeah, just give him a little bit more
time.
I think
they're going to buy some time here. I think they're absolutely going to buy some time here.
More Josh Green, more lively. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Less.
Yeah, less Gafford, less Exum. Derrick
Jones Jr.
Probably less Derrick Jones Jr. Although, you know, I think the guys like Jones Green, your top-end athletes who can legitimately play all these ball handlers one-on-one, they got like seven guys who can drop 40. Yeah. And as you're looking to, like, take away the strong side, they're like, okay, cool, we have another two guys over there that can go get 40. I mean, so how do you match up individually? And then they throw the picks in. You have to be able to switch everything. So I want Lively instead of Gafford, you know, and I want five out as well, you know.
I thought Tyronn Lue did a great job of saying, you work your ass over that pick. We're not switching every time. Yeah. And Terrence Mann and Coffey, and they were like, you know what?
Running through them.
They were old school, and they, you know, you pull your ass up underneath you, and you get over that pick, and you stick with the guy. We're not hedging for you. Yeah. You can get over the pick. You're a man.
Terrence Mann definitely seems like he embraced the Luka challenge of like, okay, I'm down to try and be the agitator here. I know Luka's going to get his, but I'm going to make him work for every single bit of this. And ultimately, you know, Luka and Kyrie are going to have to be able to adjust to what Tyronn Lue is throwing at him, which in the first half was blitzing him, and hey, we're going to make you guys get rid of the ball. Anybody else on the court can beat us. Kleba's scared to shoot. Yeah. Don't trust PJ Washington very much. If he has one game where he scores 20-plus points, okay. But nobody here from a role player standpoint can knock it down. The Clippers, you saw, their role players can shoot the dang basketball.
Well,
that's the thing about it is there. If you go into the whole thing, if you go into the playoffs, they're just one of the slowest teams in the playoffs, but one of the best shooting teams in the playoffs. They don't take a lot of two-point shots, and they don't take a lot of three-point shots. But what they do is they knock them down, and that's what you're going to have to deal with.
And their role players will likely go cold here, you know?
Sure.
Basketball
history backs that up pretty well.
You hope.
Yeah.
That's fair. Did you care at all, or were you locked in at all on LSU women's gymnastics over the weekend?
No, I you know what? I saw the tweets and stuff and saw the final vault. Or actually, I think it was on the beam they won it. And so, yeah, that was a great effort from them. You know, the overall program, the health of the program, you talk about the football and, you know, women's basketball, the gymnastics, baseball. You know, yeah, it's a good time to be a Tigers fan.
And then did you guys ever watch Stump the Schwab?
Yes.
Okay, because he passed away he over the weekend, and I remember there was a time when I was, like, so into that show, and you think you know sports, and then I was watching that show as a kid, and I was like, or as a younger person, I was like, holy crap, dude.
See, those poor shows went away because of what happened with the internet and all. You know, you didn't have to know trivia as much. You could just look it up.
Yeah.
My standard answer was always Babe Ruth, Fenway Park. Now, even if you had a baseball trivia question, you just said those two things, you were probably going to get the right answer. Yeah. But now you can kind of look it up. You don't have to know trivia like you once did.
He was a genius, though.
I became a new trivia one again. Who started off their career with the most at-bats without striking out, without getting a hit, and without getting a walk? And I had no clue that it's Mike Bassick and Dan Peltier.
And Davis wins that.
Not Davis. He struck out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was 0 for 8.
Yeah.
And they were like, could he set the record? Who has the record? And they're like, did you know that? I was like, I had no clue that I sucked at something else.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking.
Yes.
Cy Young Show 420.
Okay.
We're going to celebrate 420 with him.
I was going to ask about that. Very good timing. Roll home with the G-Vag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, let's do that hockey, Kevin.
Go Stars.